Welcome to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Greenwood, Mississippi. We are a community of Christians that exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ and influence the Delta for the glory of God. More information about Westminster can be found at www.wpcgreenwood.org.
Thanks, Misha. Thanks, kids. Got to start buying some flowers. Men. All right. Me too. All right, so we're going to pick back up in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 3. And we're going to go 3 through 14. And so in this passage, we're still learning what it looks like to live a life as the redeemed people of God. You know, the Lord, He has saved us by His grace through faith in Jesus. And we are, a new body, a body of people who are a part of the new creation order. Though we still live in the present evil age, the Lord has inaugurated His kingdom, but we're awaiting the consummation of His kingdom. And so here, Paul's giving us instruction as to what it looks like to live as children of the King. You know, we were darkness. Not just living in darkness, the passage tells us we were darkness, and now we are light. And so we're going to see what it looks like to be on this long walk in a new direction. We're going to pray before we read. We need God's help to understand His word. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word, that the word that endures forever. Lord, and we know that we need Your spirit to illumine our hearts, to help us to understand this word. Lord, help us to believe the truths found here. Help us to walk in the ways that You've called us to walk. And Lord, we trust You. You said that all those who are in Christ are dead to sin and alive to You, alive to righteousness. And so, Lord, please help us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And so we have a long walk in a new direction as believers. And so we need to know, what does it look like? And we're going to see it in 3 points today. We're going to see that we're to leave all sexual immorality and covetousness. We're to live as children of the light. And we're to let the world know the way to life. So first, leave all sexual immorality and covetousness. Remember in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul starts there by telling us that as children of God, we are imitators of our Father, that we're to live a life of imitation as beloved children, that we're to walk in love as Christ has loved us and gave Himself up for us. as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then in verse 3, he says, but sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. We know that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God demands our all, right? And so we see that our walk with Christ includes our thoughts, our words, and our actions. You know, Paul doesn't give us exhaustive lists of sins to avoid. He speaks in broad terms here, giving us certain categories. But though he doesn't give us an exhaustive list of all the sins to avoid, when he does list some things, he most always, if not always, includes sexual immorality and greed, covetousness, and idolatry. Greed could also be called those two things. In most of his list, he includes those. You think in Galatians 5, when he is speaking of walking in the Spirit, and he says, do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, and idolatry, among other things. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, he says, for this is the will of God for you, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. And in verse 7, he says, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. And so we could go on and on throughout the scriptures and see God's call here. But hopefully it's clear, sexual immorality is a heinous sin. And it's a heinous sin that's not even to be named among us. And so, we know that Paul's Ephesian audience, largely a Gentile congregation, they practiced a lot of sexual deviancy. They had cult prostitutes. This was a part of their religion. And so he's here speaking to them, but he's also speaking to us. You know, sex is a gift from God that is to be enjoyed between a man and a woman in the confines of marriage. And so all sexual activity outside of this union is off limits, not even to be named among us. We're to leave all sexual immorality and impurity. Impurity means any substance that is filthy and dirty. And it also, that refers to sexual deviant behavior. And this is very relevant for us because our culture celebrates sexual deviancy. You know, you think of the LGBTQ plus movement. They celebrate sodomy. They celebrate and they commit acts against God and nature. They promote a sinful lifestyle under the guise of love and tolerance. People are mutilating their bodies with medicine and with surgeries to try to change their bodies and go against how God made them in a beautiful way. God made you. You're an image bearer. And people are doing this. You know, we see in this celebration of all of this that man has become the determiner of what is right. You know, what is right and good. And to speak against that lifestyle is considered hate speech. But this is God's speech here. We're not talking about hatred for people. We're talking about loving and caring and pointing them to the true way. And then you think of the pornography industry. 40 million Americans regularly visit these sites. 58% of the population has viewed it at some point. 25% of all daily searches are related to pornography. 93% of teenage boys, 62% of teenage girls are exposed to it before the age of 18. And it doesn't have to be, you know, some hardcore site out there. You think of many of our mainstream TV shows that normalize sexual deviancy. Game of Thrones, Outlander, Bridgerton, Sex Education, Euphoria, to name a few. And it's not just the movies. You think of books. I mean, the 50 Shades book trilogy sold over 150 million copies worldwide and is the best-selling book series in America in the 2010 era. And then we hear of swinging, husband and wife swapping. I saw a Facebook post last week where someone was looking for Christians who swing in Rankin County. That was a Facebook post where they were inquiring if they could find some people who would do this. This is deplorable. It's deplorable, and it must not be named among us. We are to leave this and flee this and not use God's good gift in any way that we think we can. And then we see greed and covetousness is not to be named among us. You know, greed is the lust for more, bigger barns, bigger houses, better cars, all the things. And this is not to knock good gifts. It's not a sin in itself to have a nice thing, but it's the lust for more. When does it stop? Brian Rosner, he defines greedy, or the greedy, is those who have a strong desire to acquire and keep for themselves more and more money and possessions. And we saw a couple weeks ago that the thief is to no longer steal, but to work to be able to help those who are in need, right? But this greed is a focus on self. The greedy love, trust, and obey wealth rather than God. You know, Jesus, he said we cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money because you will love one and hate the other. You know, think of the rich young ruler who thought he had it all. And then when Jesus told him to go sell all of his possessions and follow him, the rich young ruler walked away sad because he had great possessions. He walked away from Jesus. You know, that is one of the great deceptions of Satan. He wants us to hold on to something here and forsake Jesus. So you follow the money, and we'll see where our hearts are. And so we have to ask ourselves, is our treasure in heaven or is our treasure here on earth? You know, Jesus, he said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The man who has all the world can offer but does not have Christ has less than nothing. And the man who has little to nothing here that the world has to offer but has Christ has everything. And then in verse 4, Paul goes from sinful heart postures to sinful actions to sinful speech. He says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. And so we saw a few weeks ago that our words matter. They matter to God. Frank Thillman, he says, Paul probably had in mind not only obscene behavior, but also discussing gross or ugly sexual behavior as a form of entertainment. Both the behavior itself and the verbal descriptions of it were often present at the banquets of the wealthy in the Greco-Roman society. And we know, I mean, it's true among us with the rise of social media, and it's easy to just tweet or meme it up, you know. No doubt it has given rise to filthiness and foolish talk and crude joking. You think about, as I was studying this, the commentators were talking about people who are quick-witted and clever, that can be the life of the party. It's not a sin to be clever and quick-witted, but you must be careful where words are many, transgression is not lacking. I mean, you think of most of the comedians today. Most of their comedy is sexual in nature, gross, filthy. But Paul's telling us, here, he's not saying that we can never tell a joke, but our jokes should not be filthy. Our talk should not be filthy. It should not be sexual in nature. We should not profane the holy and the good. You know, this section has me rethinking some of the things that I watch. You know, there are many shows that are just, they're built around crude humor, quick wit, sexual innuendos, if not outright explicit. But these verses warn us against, they also warn us against mean-spirited talk, crude or cruel speech to one another. And so we must watch our words. So as I was thinking through this and thinking of all the things that are out there and that you know, I watch or y'all watch, we just probably need to stick to Nate Bargatze and we'll be okay. You know, we'll be fine. Just stick to him. But we need to know, like, God is not a killjoy. He loves you and cares for you. He's not a killjoy. He gave us sex and speech and laughter as gifts, but they're to be used in a way that glorifies him. And so instead of speech that is oriented towards self-gratification and self-promotion, we are to be marked by thanksgiving, which is speech directed towards God. Speech that is oriented towards him. A heart that is set on thanksgiving and gratitude is a great antidote to the abuse of God's good gifts and greediness. And then we think, why are we to do this? Verses 5 and 6. He says, "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who lives a life marked by these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." And then he says this, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Those whose lives are marked by these things are not on their way to heaven, but in fact headed towards hell." And we need to pay special attention here because Paul says, do not be deceived. What does that, well, we know what it means to not be deceived, but why would he say that? It's because it's easy to be deceived. It's easy to buy into these things, to be tricked. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul says there, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor the thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Do not be deceived. Don't believe empty talk. This has been Satan's, I would say, main scheme from the beginning. What did he ask Eve in the garden? He said, "Did God really say? Did God really say that?" You know, he asked her this question, which led to sin, the sin that plunged the world into darkness. And now we have people inside and outside the church saying, "Did God really say that this is sin?" He wants you to be the real you. He wants you to just act and do as you feel. Surely you can act on this passion. You know, most of the deconstruction that I've seen over the last years has come from people who have believed this lie. They have been deceived into thinking that God has not spoken clearly about these issues. And they'll try to throw shade on the scriptures saying that they're in error. We should just look to the moral teachings of Jesus, which don't speak to these issues. But that is a lie from hell. It is a lie from Satan. Jesus had intimate knowledge of the Old Testament because according to his humanity, he studied the Old Testament scriptures and he knew them. And according to his divinity, he's the author of all of the Old Testament. And so Jesus clearly said and spoke to these issues. Marriage is between one man and one woman till death do us part. He addressed adultery and went to the heart of the matter and said, "If we lust in our hearts, we've committed adultery." Jesus condemned fornication, and the word that he used there for fornication, porneia, in the original language, it would have included all the sexual deviancy that you would find in the Old and New Testament. And as we've already addressed, Jesus clearly condemned greed and covetousness. And so we need to know the world, the flesh, and the devil will tell you otherwise. They want to lull you to sleep. Satan does not always come as we might think, right? He disguises himself as an angel of light. And so he's going to come and want you to believe that you're being loving to agree with the world and to do as they do. He wants you to view your freedom in Christ as a license to sin, but Paul says, do not be deceived. He's loving us in that moment. He's picking us up by the shirt and like, I was gonna say like a father does his son, maybe sometimes, not always, but saying, don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. Those who live in those ways have no inheritance in the kingdom of God and will face the wrath of God on the last day. And so we're to leave sexual immorality, impurity, and greed, and we're to live as children of light. And so in verse 7, we see that we are not to partner with those who live in this way, in darkness. And it doesn't mean that we're to hole up in some monastery somewhere and not communicate with them ever, or that we can't have a business transaction with them. God, Christ has not physically taken us out of this world. We are still here. We're aliens and pilgrims. And we belong to a new creation, but we're still here. We're not to partner with them in their darkness. We're not to approve of their practices. In verse 8, we see that at one time we were darkness, but now we are light. So walk as children of light, producing the fruit of light, which is all that is good, right, and true. And so we keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit that produces gentleness and peace and patience and kindness and love. We keep in step with the Spirit. We walk with Him. And so, Christian, you need to know this. You are the light. No matter what you think or feel about yourself, no matter your struggle, current struggle with sin, you are light. You are light because you're united to Christ by the Spirit. Jesus has called us to be holy as He is holy. And our light is a reflection of Him. It doesn't originate in us. It's a reflection of Jesus, who is light. Paul says, as we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And that doesn't mean make a mental image of Jesus' face or whatever. He's saying, as we hear these words preached, and as you hear the gospel preached, and you meditate on Jesus, He is transforming you into His image. He hasn't left you. He will finish what He started. We're like the moon. The moon does not produce its own light, but reflects the light of the sun. We're image bearers that reflect the light of God, who created us in His image. Like I said, no matter how you feel or what you're struggling with, no matter how much you struggle with your sin, remember this: if you are in Christ, you are light. And so live as children of light. And we see that we're, as we do this, we're to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. It's not always plainly spelled out as we study the Word, but we do study the Word. We mine its riches. We cry out to God for wisdom. Paul says, meditate on what is pure and lovely. He tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Do not be conformed don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so we want to come to His Word. We want to know what He says. We're crying out for help so that we can discern how to live a life pleasing to Him. And that's a part of what God's doing here as we worship. When we come to worship, we come to meet with the living God, and He transforms us. He's speaking to us through His Word, and by His Spirit, He's changing us. And then we see in verses 11 through 14, we're not only to leave darkness behind and live as children of light, we're to let others know the way to life. And this is how we'll close. In verses 11 through 14, Paul says, not only are we not to partake of the unfruitful works of darkness, we are to expose the darkness in the lives of others, and even in our own life when it comes up. Because when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the mission of the church. This is the primary mission of the church. We're to gather in lost, the blind and the deaf, those who are walking in darkness. We're to preach the gospel to them and disciple them in the teachings of Christ. And for someone to truly grasp the beauty of Christ that we see in the gospel, they must understand their darkness. They must understand that. right? For someone to truly grasp the beauty of salvation in Christ, they must know their sin. And we're so, at times, afraid of being labeled a culture warrior that we're tempted not to call sin, sin. You know, we have to share God's truth. We have to lay the law out so that someone can see. I mean, I think of the heart as like a living room. I remember, and I've told y'all this before, I'm sure, my grandmother's house as a kid watching the Price is Right. And it, you know, the house looked clean. I'm standing in there. The living room looks clean. But as soon as a ray of sunlight would come through the window, I would just see dust particles floating around, right? And that's the same way. In the law, God uses the law as that ray of light into our heart to see all the dust particles, the dirt, and the sin. And so we want to help people. We want to be instruments in the hands of our Redeemer that when we share the word with people, God exposes the darkness. And so this means we must be a people who are bold and courageous, and thank God he gave us the spirit not of fear, but of power. You know, we need people committed to speaking truth and love to those who are walking in darkness that they may come into the light. And as we do it, don't water down the message. Don't change it. Help people see their sin and help them see what a beautiful Savior we have in Jesus. You know, it's like Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb, or like Ezekiel calling out to the valley of dry bones. We are calling out to sleepers, and we're saying, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So no matter what you've done, all these lists of things we've talked about or that Paul's laying out here, there is not a sin listed there that cannot be covered in the blood of Christ. Absolutely not. No matter your current struggle, no matter what you've done, Christ calls you to himself. There is hope in Jesus Christ for all who are in darkness. And I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 6 and finish the passage. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But get this, too. "And such were some of you," he says. "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And so that is us. Washed, sanctified, justified. That is no longer who you are. Do not define yourself by your sin. Define yourself by your union with Christ and who he is and your identity in him. If you are in Christ, the wrath of God fell upon him. You will not face it. He has faced it for you. It was poured out on him. He paid for your sins. You are free. It will never be brought up against you. For those still practicing these sins, Christ calls you to himself today. And he says, "Come to me. Come to me. Come into the light. You'll be washed. You'll be forgiven. And you'll be empowered to walk in newness of life." And this all really just gets down to purpose, right? Why are you here? What is the chief end of man? If our chief end is to please ourselves and to please others, we will continue to walk in the wrong direction. But if we realize that we were made for more, we were made for him, to glorify and enjoy him forever, we'll take this long walk in a new direction. So let's leave sexual immorality and greed. Let's live as children of light, and let's let others know the way to life, which is found in Christ alone. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Even though there are hard things that you say and it to us, there are you reveal our sin, and Lord, we have a hard time looking at it. And Lord, you not only reveal our sin, you reveal our Savior. And so we thank you that you have revealed Christ to us. And I pray for anyone in this room that does not know you, Lord, that they would know that you lived and died and rose again for them. So please grant them the gift of repentance and faith. Lord, help us. In Christ's name, amen. So let's stand.
Hi, Richard Owens here. I just wanted to take a second to say thank you for listening to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church. Our prayer is that the Lord would use this message to encourage you in the gospel and that you would find Jesus to be more beautiful than you ever imagined. If you'd like to find out more about who Jesus is or more about our church, I invite you to visit our website at wpcgreenwood.org. God bless.